This is Ashley Hodge with a Sic'em 365 basketball podcast. I'm going to do something a little different tonight. I waited 24 hours before I talked about the loss to Stephen F. Austin. What a roller coaster of emotions. We have the big win against Arizona on Saturday night when Baylor played a very physical, dominating the glass type of game. And then they come home and just a lack of energy in the gym. Stephen F. Austin had more fans than Baylor fans, which was pretty pathetic. And the team didn't really respond well to a very empty gym. Just didn't show the kind of pep in their step that they did against Arizona. And as a result, they ended up losing to Stephen F. Austin, which has a terrific program. We got to give them credit. But they're missing a lot of key players. They have not played very good basketball this year and should not have come into Waco and left with a win. All credit to Kyle Keller and Shannon Bogues and that crew. Devontae Fitzgerald, who started at A&M and is now at Stephen F. Austin. They've got some good players, but still, Baylor should have taken care of business, and they didn't. And so now they're straddled with two pretty bad losses, Texas Southern to start the year, and now the Stephen F. Austin loss. And then, of course, they lost on the road to Wichita State, a team that's probably not going to be very good. But you can understand that. It's a road venue and a very tough place to win. And then the Ole Miss loss. Ole Miss is going to have a solid team. So let's talk about that game just for a second. I don't want to spend too much time on it because I really want to focus more on Oregon Friday night and what the Bears can do to come out with a victory in that game. But looking at the Stephen F. Austin game, I was sitting next to Matt Mosley and Tiny Elvis and Tiny Elvis's dad, Jim Wright, Mr. Wright. And boy, we were just trying to inject some energy into our heckling and have a good time with Stephen F. Austin. But the team didn't really give us an opportunity because we really couldn't get separation, especially in the second half. It was good to sit next to those guys and have some fun. Jabbing back and forth with the SFA bench. They were great sports about it. But, you know, the big thing for that game for me was just turnovers. Baylor is now, they had 18 turnovers on the game, only 11 assists, and they now have 143 turnovers on the year and 122 assists. I think I got those numbers right. And obviously that's not winning basketball. You have Mekhi Mason, your point guard, who's done a really good job. He was huge in the Arizona game, had an okay game against Stephen F. Austin, but right now he's 18 assists and 19 turnovers on the year. Mario Kegler, 2 assists, 11 turnovers. Mark Vidal does so many good things. Obviously, taking care of the basketball is not one of those things. He's got 30 turnovers, only 22 assists on the year. And then his free throw shooting has been really bad. I mean, the whole team has not shot free throws real well, except for a couple guys. Mason's at 82%, Bondu's at 93%, Jared Butler's almost 90%, and then you've got a bunch of guys under 70. King McClure, 67%. He needs to get to the line quite a bit, and he needs to be over 80% from the line. Kegler is now 64% after going 4-for-4 against Arizona, but he threw up a goose egg against Stephen F. Austin. You can't have one of your best players throwing up a goose egg. That's just not going to work. Matthew Meyer, 68%. He needs to shoot better. And then you got Mark Vidal at 41%. Tristan Clark, 68%. It's pretty respectable for a big man. Tristan still leads the nation in field goal percentage, 79% field goal percentage. For someone who has as many shot attempts as he takes, it's outstanding. Obviously, most of his stuff's around the rim, so we are getting great production from him. And he had another big game in this Stephen F. Austin game. He had 24 points, and 7 rebounds, 2 blocks, 3 steals. So good game from Tristan, not much help. Mekhi Mason ended up with 11 points. He had 4 assists, but he had 4 turnovers. He had 1 steal, and Mark Vidal was good on the boards again, had 12 rebounds, but 6 turnovers, did have 5 steals, which was really good. But overall, just a disappointing game, and we're just going to have to flush that one and hopefully get some wins against people that we shouldn't beat and, you know, surprise some people during conference play. And it's got to start with Oregon. So let's take a look at the Oregon matchup. Oregon may be without their superstar freshman, Bol Bol. 7'3", 7'8", wingspan. Does a little bit of everything. Shoots lots of threes. 52% from three this year. 56% from the field. 76% from the free throw line. Averaging 21 points, 10 rebounds, and 3 blocks. I hope he plays. I actually think Baylor would benefit from him playing because as many things as he does well, he's not the best defender from a lateral movement standpoint. And I think Oregon's offense actually, when he hasn't been in the lineup, has looked a little bit better, or you know, especially on the defensive end, I think they've been a little better. So I'm sure Dana Altman wants him back. He's their best player. But I really would love to see him in the Farrell Center, and I think it would just add a lot more energy to the building if he does play. They got Peyton Pritchard, point guard, originally committed to Oklahoma, then changed his mind, went to Oregon. He's averaging 13 points, 5 assists, 2 steals. Very solid player. 2-1 assist to turnover ratio. Paul White started Georgetown, big guy, averaging 9 points, 4 rebounds. He's their third leading scorer. Victor Bailey is a Texas kid. I think he may have played AAU ball with Mark Vidal, if my memory serves me right. He's averaging 9 points, 3 rebounds. And then they've got some guys that have talent and just haven't gelled with the team yet. Like Lewis King's 5-star player. He's only played 5 games. So he's kind of like Mario Kegler, where he joined them after the first 6 games. And I think had some injury issues, if I think that's accurate. But he's been kind of easing into the lineup here. He shoots the three pretty well, 6'8", 6'9", kid. Kenny Wooten, very talented, 6'9", player. I believe he's a sophomore and is averaging 7 points, 5 rebounds. And then we've got Will Richardson, as one of the other guys that gets a lot of minutes, freshman that's 6'5", from Georgia. And then Ihab Amin, he's an interesting guy, was a pretty coveted grad transfer, played at Texas A&M Corpus Christi, he's coming off a pretty serious injury where he didn't play all last year, averaging 6 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, basically 1.5 steals per game, but not shooting it near as well as they had hoped for, so they're not getting much offensive production from him. But it's a very talented team, a lot of 4-star, 5-star guys. And, you know, certainly the headliner is Bol Bol, and he's missed the last 2 games with injury. So that's the big question. Does Bol Bol play? And what kind of Baylor team are we going to see? Are we going to see the version that showed up against Arizona and had a lot of energy, was moving really well in the zone, and was getting the tough rebounds, you know, really bear down on offense in the second half and was able to execute well? Or are we going to see what we've seen the rest of the year, which is just turnover prone, missing foul shots, missing 3-pointers. I think we are a much better shooting team than we've shown. And hopefully that statement's going to prove me right in the weeks to come, because it's pretty painful to watch all these open shots that we're getting. And, you know, Kegler and King McClure, you know, Butler airballed a couple. Bondu's really not found his rhythm. He's an excellent shooter. We got to get him going. And King, you know, just a really rough couple of games offensively. And, you know, he certainly had a rough offensive game against Ole Miss as well, although he didn't take many shots. But the last 2 games, he's taken quite a few shots and just, you know, missed pretty badly against Stephen F. Austin. I heard a rumor that their legs were tired, that they practiced really hard the Monday before the game, and that may have played a role. But, hey, you know, these are college kids. They should be able to bounce back a little better than that and you know, muster up the energy needed to power through and get those home wins. So it's a big opportunity right before we head into the Christmas break. And I think it's going to tell us a lot about this team. How resilient is this team? Can they, you know, turn a setback into a comeback? Are they able to perform in front of a home crowd that's probably going to be significantly less than it would have been if we were able to beat Stephen F. Austin and certainly beat Texas Southern. I mean, you got to win your home games, especially to get fan support in a town that just always kind of struggles to support basketball, especially while football season's going on. But hey, the fans that do show up, we got to do our part. Get our butts out of the seats, cheer this team on, be loud, give them encouragement, give them some energy, and then the players got to do their part. They got to be focused. They have to take care of the things that they can control, which is effort. They have to be active in the zone. Drove me crazy that there weren't active hands against Stephen F. Austin, especially late in the game. Got to be active with the hands. And then also, they got to rebound well and play good defense. Offense, just take good shots. Take good shots, get offensive rebounds, get to the foul line, be the more aggressive team, press the issue, really impose your will against Oregon, and just use that home court advantage to where you can come out with a win. This is a pivotal point for this season, and just really need everyone on board to, you know, try to get this team over the hump and send them into Christmas break with a good taste. And then we got one more tune-up game. Hopefully it's a tune-up. I don't think we want to call anything a tune-up this season. We played New Orleans before the conference, the brutal Big 12 schedule starts. So just want to share some thoughts. And, you know, I think the big thing that, you know, Baylor's going to really just have to do to beat Oregon is less than 14 turnovers. You got, you know, probably less than 12. They're going to have to be over 60% from the line. I think they need to take at least 20 free throws, and they're going to have to make 5 or 6 three-pointers at a minimum, in my opinion, to be able to get out of there with a win. So hopefully we'll see you at the Farrell Center Friday night, and you've been listening to a Sikkim 365 podcast with Ashley Hodge, and I'll be back after the Oregon game and share some thoughts then.